Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the deadly serious Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, fluoridated as well as Fukushima irradiated, and everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb on behalf of the Prime Minister John Key, the Federal Reserve Banker, in order to help the economy by government mandate. And my very special guest today is coming at us, I believe, from Aussie, and he's coming up as Shrek, but I think his name is George Cassavetes, isn't it? Right, George, welcome to the program.
Yeah, George Cassavetes. So great to be here, Vinny. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, mate. It's a great honour.
Well, you'll forgive me, but the style of the show is I don't know who I'm talking to, and we will get to know each other over these next 2 hours. So without further ado, tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, I've just, throughout my life, just been an ordinary bloke, but I had extraordinary experiences. And basically, just put it straight out there, I've been experiencing other realities, other domains, and other races and beings from other realities and domains and other dimensions for pretty much my whole life. Since I was even going through some regression, I've experienced, moments of these interactions even when I was about 2 years old, if not before. So my memories, my own conscious memories, go back to about as far as 4.5, 5 years old. So it's been happening throughout my life. And then I tried to be a normal person, sleeping in the Matrix, being one of the walking dead, one of the zombies in the Matrix, and tried that, and it was just getting more painful and more painful all the time, and it just started rising up within me was me. And I thought, hey, it's time to get real about this, time to be a bit more genuine and authentic, and it's time to stop living a lie and being fake and pleasing everybody around me and just conforming and going, well, stuff this, I just got to get on with it and do my great work is what I call it. It's not the work that little George wanted to be doing, but it's the work that big George said little George has got to get on with.
Well, I think it's like yourself, whatever that might be. It's not who you are right here as it appears and just all your experiences and everything like that. There's a whole bunch of other things that are associated with it, like all the emotional traumas that have happened to you, all your successes, all the lessons you've learned, your behaviours, your characteristics, and also that there's things that are above it, things that seem really irrational, whereas the person that you're talking to is absolutely sane. You know that they are, and they're telling you things that don't make any sense. And you have to wonder, does my life actually make any sense anymore?
Yeah, very, very well put. And because the, you know, when we start doing those deeper contemplations, we start accessing, you know, those characteristics, those personality traits, those experiences and the wisdom gain, but they're coming from other places. They're coming from beyond this lifetime, and they're coming from even beyond this planetary realm. We start having memories of having another life in another planetary system and somewhere else in the universe. So when I talk about, you know, if you take all the concepts you just explained about all the experiences and the wisdom gained and personality traits that we've collected along the way, apply that on a universal scale, apply that to your journey within this universe, and then you start realizing, well, crikey, it hasn't been just my interaction with my one friend here, you know, when I was 18 and I got that experience. You start to draw knowledge and wisdom from, you know, experiences way out there in the universe from eons time back, and your whole perspective just changes because you realize, crikey, we're in this colossal-sized universe. We've been having this incredible journey through it, and it's been fun, and it's been hard, and it's been, you know, it's a universe of contrasting expressions. So we've done it all. It's been quite amazing.
So is the point in the journey or the destination then?
Well, there's an intention and a reason and a purpose for entering the universe. And so, therefore, there's an intended outcome to the journey within this universe. We all came in here for a reason. That's because we like the expression. We wanted to experience contrasting expressions. And there's many beings who wanted to actually, you know, well, the overwhelming majority, if not all, want to learn how to be that contrasting expression to create life at, because it's quite unique. It doesn't exist anywhere else. As far as my awareness goes, and I'm talking about beyond the universe now, but I also know that we all exist beyond this universe, and that we're all infinite. So that's a knowing. That's not a supposition or a theory. That's fact.
Mm. And some people, they require these facts to be proven in a scientific methodology, right? And
well, you can't.
That's what I've discovered, is that the scientific methodology is actually also very flawed, just like the religious methodology, just like the political methodologies, and just like military methodologies. All of these different types of problem solving, like one figures out how to kill you, one figures out how to control you and keep you in line, another one figures out how to tax you, and another one figures out how to free you. Who's the one that's figured out how to free us, and how are they doing it? I haven't identified anybody who's come up with the plan yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of groups and organisations that will claim that. At the end of the day, true freedom can only come from a free and sovereign spirit, and that is within each and every individual. There, you know, and that, because that's a part of us that's in, you know, in conjunction with what I call and many others call universal law, L-O-R-E law, not L-A-W law, because there's quite a great distinction between the two. L-A-W is a synthetic authoritarian construct which has been overlaid over the natural order. Universal law, L-O-R-E, is the natural flow and natural unfoldment of life. And they're two quite, you know, while there's some similarities, there's also they're quite distinctive between the two constructs. So, you know, that comes down to, you know, you can't take universal concepts in its entirety and measure it in the test tube. In a way you can, depending on the type of technology you're going to use, and that's the flaw of science, is because we are restricted with the technologies that we have on the planet and the technologies that science uses. I mean, you know, the technology becomes the lenses. For those who don't do it in an organic way, in other words, through going within yourself and using your conscious spirit to reconnect with the universe and regain that knowledge and understanding, if you want to give your power away to something outside of you, and you need, people need the technology to actually make these discoveries rather than learn it for oneself. The type of technology one's using is the lenses that someone looks at life or studies life through, and that's where the complications or the restrictions of science come into play.
Well, have there been times throughout history where advanced individuals have been able to do things that science of the day could not explain but has since figured out?
Oh, that's always been a norm. That concept that you just explained is a norm, and it's been happening throughout the ages. It's never not happened. Because science is a religion. Science is a religion. Oh, good examples. Look at the Dogon tribes, for example. You know, when they've got clearly stated and drawn in their cultural philosophies and spiritual philosophies of Sirius A and Sirius B, and, you know, which is, you know, that information is thousands of years old within the tribes, and science is only just science. You know, what we're talking about is science, a religion, not true science, because true science always goes beyond the boundaries of the status quo. It's in its very nature to do that. So there are real scientists and there are real, you know, organisations of science on the planet, but we're just talking about like, science in general as we know it.
Just like there are real spiritual leaders who work for the church and stuff like that, who actually do a job of spiritually counselling people and that sort of thing, and are not corrupt or pedophiles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, it's only just recently that they, through the Space Hubble telescope and through other telescopes, that they discovered that Sirius is really a trinary system, but they're calling it a binary system. They just haven't quite worked out the link between Sirius and our sun. But, you know, they're getting to that point.
Now, also, because of the fact that we have this this thing called knowing, it tends to be that, and if we can't scientifically measure it, then it tends to be belief. And sometimes I've known something, but then I've turned out to be wrong, and I'm just like, well, how did that happen? And I'm still trying to find out, is there a reason why I was wrong or something like that? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, of course, yeah, and it's still happening today, certain issues. So, you know, it happened big time recently with me feeling the way this reality was going to go, and many others too. It wasn't just me. There was incredible how many people felt that the changes that were going to occur around these times were going to happen a particular way, and we've come to realise or understand that, you know, we didn't quite get it right, and there's many reasons for that. And, you know, a lot of it has to do also, last time we were here on the planet, when these sorts of, you know, cycles were coming to an end and what we experienced then. So, you know, all the trauma that we had entrenched in our own psyche, he's meaning not mental, I mean spirit. That's what Tzichi means, spirit. You know, that's, and in our karmic energetic lineage on the planet, you know, that came to the fore. So I think a lot of us were experiencing a little bit of post-trauma from major changes that have occurred on the planet before. I'm not saying they're not going to happen. I still feel that there are going to be quite some significant changes, but just in the specifics of the way I stated them and others have stated, and they haven't quite come to pass. It's interesting, the dynamics and the ebb and the flow of this reality. It's humbling a lot of people. Yeah.
Like what was the predictions you were making?
Oh, just that, you know, I had a feeling at one stage that the planet was going to straighten up on her axis, because she's starting to do that. And, you know, if we're going to bring this extreme version of polarity and duality to an end, we need to find centre, and so does Mother Earth. She needs to find centre. So the wobble is going to be a thing of the past. So somehow the wobble has to be, you know, eliminated from her cycles, because it's a system of duality. It polarises, and so it helps provide the dualistic environment that we have here on this planet. So at some stage, the straightening up of the axis will occur, but, you know, when that's going to happen, whatever, I'm just not going to predict that anymore. I'm just going to sit back and go with the flow and enjoy the ride, because there's fun in the mystery for me too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's two types of people that make predictions sometimes, you know. One is the kind that is attempting to usurp power and get gold and the chief's daughter sacrificed to him so that he can appease the gods and stuff like that and hold off the drought, whatever. And the other kind are the people who genuinely feel something that was a possibility and wasn't the only one, but for some reason or another, hey, it didn't work. So then they stop making predictions, because they know that it's so hard to predict the future, because if you can see the future, you can make a choice about whether or not you let it happen.
Yeah, and there's multiple time. You know, the concept of timelines comes into it too, because we're getting to a point where this reality is going to branch off into multiple timelines. So there's that aspect to it as well. So a lot of us are, you know, feeling into, you know, different timelines as well, because there's a lot of not so much predictions, but people are starting to voice the way they feel things are going to pan out, which is a good thing too, because it helps to break us out of that mental paradigm too, the lock of that box mentality. So we do tend to take other things into consideration. So it provides a great service for people as well to think outside the square.
I see that whole thing is kind of like expanding the possibilities, you know. What's possible? Is it possible that my government would blow up two gargantuan Masonic pillars in the middle of New York City and shower everybody with EPA banned asbestos dust and then not give any of the people who got sick from it, the first responders, any money to heal any of their sickness that they got from it? Is that a possibility? And if that's not even a possibility for you, on the other hand, got no alternative to that lie that they're spinning at you, right? So I'm thinking like this. If you say to yourself, let's just be silly, let's be flippant, let's hypothesize and go, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, endlessly. Doing that alone actually increases your intelligence and your capacity to see through BS. Because you'll come up with something that's BS, and your mate will say, no, because there's flaws in that, and you're burning them back and forth, and then suddenly you realize that you've both figured out something together that you couldn't figure out on your own, right? So you've helped bring each other's intelligence up. And I think this is the art of interaction, right? And this is the reason why a lot of older people who worked their whole lives didn't really grow a social circle or anything like that, but they become very insular and they stop communicating with so many people and instead sit in front of the television and slump to the side from the medications and stuff like that, and draw while they're pulling donuts in a mobility scooter, you know, with the system up, you know. If we're not interacting and we're not getting other people, particularly those with different mindsets, different ideas, interacting with us to challenge our current existing beliefs, we don't grow as fast. Challenge yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. It's a good idea, all right? And keep talking to people, because you never know. Everybody knows something that you don't know already, right? And if you keep talking, you'll eventually find out something. At least, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can also join us in the chat room at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Search us on Google. NSA knows where to find me. We'll be right back.
People, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And for those of you who listen in live, daylight savings does happen. And when it does, oh, baby, does it mess around with the listeners in the Southern Hemisphere. I dig this. If you're listening on AmericanFreedomRadio.com in America, for example, ain't nothing going to change. We'll still be there for 5 till 7 p.m. Central Standard Time during the Texas Drivers Frustration Hour, and also from 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern for everybody to munch on their bagels with and drink their coffee down in New York, or Brooklyn, as the case may be, and 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific Time for all of those of you in L.A., soon to be renamed Arizona Bay, on California time. In New Zealand, on the other hand, in the Southern Hemisphere, when the time zones switch, the Americans go forward 1 hour and we go back 1 hour, okay? So this is how it works. First, New Zealand goes back an hour. So instead of listening to me from 10 a.m. till midday, as per usual, it'll be 11 a.m. till 1 p.m., Okay, 5 days a week, you know, Tuesday through Saturday here in New Zealand, because we're a day ahead in the future and whatnot. And then the Americans will switch their time zone as well, so we get an extra hour onto that. So it becomes then midday till 2 p.m. Local New Zealand time. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. There'll be one time zone shift here in New Zealand that happens this weekend. So next week it'll be a little bit weird, and I think that lasts for about 2 weeks. And then afterwards, we switch back to the summer schedule, so that allows us to have our midday, whatever the heck, and get stuff done in the morning before you come and listen to the show. But anyway, side issue. Back to my guest, George. Welcome back.
Yeah, and welcome now, to the future, everybody, because we're a day ahead of you all. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, well, we have had people join in the chat room and put in their lottery numbers there to see if we can check up on them ahead of time, but the predictions haven't panned out as they should, but you know all about that, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
See, we've got to laugh at ourselves and the mistakes we make, because it's like, oh,
you got to laugh at yourself, you know? Mate. If you can't laugh at yourself, I tell you what, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, that's for sure. Yeah, we've got to be able to laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, well, you can't take other people. This is the best advice I was ever given to me in terms of dealing with other people and the relationship with yourself. Firstly, you can't take other people too personally. And secondly, you can't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah. That's great wisdom. That's seriously good wisdom.
It solves some problems in my life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what a couple of sentences can do for somebody, you know? Not entirely like the criminal code system. But anyway, the future and spirits, demons, aliens, humans, past lives. I was just thinking about how these six kind of things sort of tie together. So at the one time, you're living this one 3D existence. And then on the other hand, you know, maybe under hypnosis, you'll have all these certain past lives that go back umpteen historical years or whatever. And then through the future, you've got your predictions and you'll have spirits will come to you and tell you this, that, and the other. Or you might have aliens that say that they've got advanced time travel technology that can tell you the future. Or you might have demons that whispering in your ear and going on about this, that, or the other. So how does one maintain a grip on the present, the now, when you take all of those things and possibilities into account? And more to the point, is it even possible to see any one of them in isolation?
Oh, yeah, they all exist in not only in isolation, but they also exist all at the same time, interconnected as well. So while we're here having this, and just one other variable, which is a huge one, is that we also have multiple aspects of ourselves that currently exist in other planetary systems, in other galactic systems, in other universal paradigms, all within this great universe, and we also exist beyond this great universe. So there's so much more of us that is doing so many things all simultaneously. And the reason why, if we look at all the aspects of ourselves that are within this universe, which are millions, right, because we've expanded out into a multitude of realities and paradigms to have all these incredible experiences throughout this universe, to experience all that's on offer, and through those experiences, learn the wisdom. We this reality here is a fractal of the universe. So this reality here is connected to everything energetically, more significantly and more substantially than anywhere else in the universe. So we're in kind of a little bit of a, I would say, a jewel within the universe. And the solar system is a fractal of the universe, and so is the galaxy. So it's been in, I've just recently written a book called Our Universal Journey, and I call it The Road to Compression. And that's the reason why this reality exists. It's the reason why the solar system exists. It's the reason why the galaxy exists. So The galaxy was first created as a fractal of the universe, which is known as a galactic womb. And then it was once all possibilities and outcomes were exhausted within that arena, the galactic arena, we and I say we because we all collectively co-created this, we also wanted to take it to the next level and compress it even further because we want to bring everything back into balance or back in a zero point and integrate everything. So we created this soul, co-created this solar system, and then we all co-created this planet, and then we all co-created these vessels that we are in, which we call the human body. So it's been compressing, 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 and it's, you know, our bodies are a fractal of the universe. So you've got the galaxy, then into the solar system, then onto the planet, and then we've incarnated into these human vessels, human meaning God, man, or godly being of godly mind. So it's about attaining universal consciousness and bringing everything back into zero point and balance. And that's who and what we are. All the, you know, there's multitudes of races and beings out there that I've interacted with, and I've got aspects of me out there that I remember and are consciously aware of. And, you know, that's what everyone's talking about is what's happening here. Everyone out there in the greater organic universe, they know who we are. They know what we're doing here. We came from out there. We're all ETs. We're all interdimensional beings. And it's no big deal. But then you've got this other bunch of ETs and beings and God entities who are totally jealous of who and what we are and have been doing nothing but giving it their best shot at sabotaging this whole operation, this whole process that we all co-created to basically attain universal consciousness in its totality. So it's been a very interesting sort of byplay that's been taking place here. And, yeah, they're pretty good at what they do. I mean, they've done a very good job at severing our connection with our mother planet and severing our connection with the greater aspect of ourselves. They're pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm conscious of the fact that some simple inventions and things like that are like totally amazing to primitive cultures, but to them it's like nothing. And then you show them something else, and they're like, "Yeah, so what?" The lighter, for example, here's an interesting anecdote for you. These dudes were British explorers, I think, and they were going into Papua New Guinea tribes nobody'd ever seen for since forever or whatever, you know. Blow dart pipes and that kind of thing. And they cruise in there and they try to like dazzle these people by showing them a lighter. And they're like, "Wow, oh my God, you know, he just made fire just straight like that." And he's like, yeah, like that, don't you? Cool, eh? Huh? And you wait till tomorrow. I'm going to show you something really, really cool. And he's, you know, gets his plane to come in from the on the shore and land. And he gathers everybody on this beach to see this plane land on its pontoons in the water, expecting them to be absolutely amazed and enthralled. And this plane comes in, and everybody just goes, "Yeah, so what?" And he's like, I don't get it. We can fly." And then they said, "Well, of course you can fly. You can make fire come out of your thumb."
Exactly right. I once had this incredible interaction with this elderly gentleman up here in the Flinders Ranges, and you know, I made the comment to him that the Australian Aborigines are pretty much just about the most advanced race on the planet, and he just got so angry. "How dare you insult my intelligence? I'm a university professor and I've got this degree and that degree, and you're going to tell me that those people are the most advanced, blah, 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 blah." Oh, my goodness, you should have seen the intellectual ego defending itself. It was unbelievable. And, you know, a lot of people haven't the capacity to understand advanced technology. They truly think if it's something that, you know, has to be heavily processed within a factory, that's more advanced than something that is done organically through consciousness in the universe. And no, for them, just removing a rock in a valley from one location to another totally alters the dynamics and the energetic patterns within that valley. And that will then influence all life within the valley. And they know how to understand that technology. They know how to use that technology. This is a very different level of technology. Just like when we look at the pyramids, for example, you know, the pyramids were built with very, very advanced technology. And it's very simple technology. All it is knowing how to control the rate of the spin of the atoms, which then controls the rate of the vibration of the molecules, which then alters the density of the rocks. And when you have that ability to reach into matter to those levels, you can control matter. And we used to do that. We all used to do that. We're just at this current state and level of beingness and awareness on our planet. We haven't quite currently got that ability. Some people do. Some people know how to move objects around using kinetics and what have you. But, we're slowly coming back to that ability. We're once again reconnecting with the greater aspects of ourselves, which allows us to utilize that sort of, some people call it powers, but it's not. It's just going back to being normal. You know, what we are at the moment
going with the flow.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like the universe is a sort of flow. It kind of goes round and round, and it also expands out outwards like ripples at the same time. And each little celestial body in the universe has that exact same pattern, round and round, and ripple effects outside it. And I found that it works in a fractal level on the same way as well. So if I simply stop resisting that flow and allow myself to roll round and round and expand out in ripples and everything like that, I find that I actually become congruent with many other sectors and flow with people much better. Synchronicities happen. I'll be thinking something like, man, I need some money for bread or something like that. And then a listener will say, hey, call up or something like that and go, hey, Vinny, bro, I've got a couple of loaves of bread here for you that I just got out of the back of the bakery. Do you want some, bro? No? Like, whoa. And it's freaky, man. It just takes your trust just to let go and do what you feel is right in your heart, and you will never want for anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's the principles of life that I myself are doing my best to live with and continue to resynchronize myself with the natural flow and unfoldment of life, which is what I called Law, L-I-R-E, before. And that's it. When you get into that space, that's when magic happens. That's true alchemy.
Mm-hmm. And I find that it not only corresponds to my social circles, it actually corresponds to digital things and also creative minds that I don't even know that are on the other sides of the world, like and radio frequencies, television shows. Like I'll start thinking of a phrase. And the phrase might be word might be popcorn or something as I'm watching TV, and then they make a joke about popcorn, or and it'll only happen like a few minutes before, or even 15 minutes before, I'll say that this person's got a dangerous thing, and they're an alien or something like that, and then it gets revealed about 20 minutes into the plot line with no discernible kind of stuff that I could see they're an alien. How interesting. And just recently, there's a new movie coming out called Dredd, based on the Judge Dredd comic books. And about 3 months ago, I think it was, I had this compulsion, this absolute compulsion to download the movie Judge Dredd, the older one, you know, just in low quality or something, and watch it a few times. And it's like all full of Agenda 21 references and all this climate change propaganda to set up the prologue of the movie and everything like that. And I was like, whoa, that's predictive programming. There has to be a new Judge Dredd coming out. It comes out on Thursday.
that's in sync, isn't it? Yeah.
I'd been thinking of it quite intensely as well about this new thing coming up, and it was just like Judge Dredd repeating over in my mind. So I have to go see that movie because there'll be something in it again that'll spur my mind onto something else. Who knows? Maybe I'm just under mind control and doing exactly what the movie makers want me to. Please don't desert me.
American Freedom Radio.
the exposed scumbaggery and talk about all weird sorts of things. All right, that's enough of that. Thank you very much, Pavarotti, ladies and gentlemen. Pavarotbreath, whatever his name is. Okay. I wonder if he eats pavlova and smokes cigarettes. Are you having Pavarotti breath? Or anything? I don't know. Anyway, my very special guest from our journey-home.com, George Cavasilis. Now, where's the name Cavasilis from?
It's ourjourneyhome.com.au. We changed the URL not long ago, so we're just sharing a new URL with you. And I may not have sent that information to you. I do apologise. And Cavasilis is a name that goes way back into ancient Greece. And I through my own investigation, I found out it goes right back to Saint Silas. And he was born in the province of Kavala. And so the name is, I'm a direct descendant of that dude, if you want to put it that way. And so the work that I'm doing has to do with, I would say he's one of the founding fathers of the church. And when I say church, I mean the institution, I mean the organization and the corporation we call the church. Because the word church comes from ekklesia in Greek, and ekklesia is ecclesiastical. It really means a gathering of very open minded people, and different people sharing philosophies and people coming together and having these fantastic discussions about life and sharing spiritual knowledge and wisdom of life together in a very open and very liberal manner. And but what happened was Silas had other ideas, and he left Greece after hanging out with Paul for a while, because Paul had his realizations occur and realized that they'd left out the divine feminine and were doing everything wrong in that respect, that they were disseminating a male-dominated bastion sort of dogma, and Silas wouldn't have a bar of it. So he took over back to the Middle East and teamed up with the followers of Peter, and they created with external influences and off-world influences, and hooked up with the priestly caste who were decimated after the events that took place back then, from the sun, S-U-N, incarnating on earth and walking amongst the people again, which tends to do periodically. It took them really 300 years. But anyway, they laid the foundation in conjunction with the priestly caste to bring about, once again, a religious organization to control the people. So it was the blueprint that was laid down for the modern era, and it took 325 years or 300 years for that to once occur at the Creed of Nicaea, under the guise of reconciliation of spiritual concepts. Emperor Constantine was very deceitful, and people came from all over the planet, far and wide, and now beyond his reaches of his empire. He called everybody in for this incredible meeting to, once again, under the guise of reconciliation of different differing and at sometimes opposing spiritual ideas and concepts. And he did it to create a state religion and reinstate the priestly caste as the intermediaries of life between the masses, between the people and the greater consciousness of the universe. But it really had to do with a God entity claiming to be the creator and claiming to be the creator and ruler of all things and all life, of all that is and all that exists. So it's a bit of a complex story, which is difficult to explain within a few minutes, but I have written it in the book. I've explained it to great depth and great detail. And, I even go back to before when this galaxy was created and the dramas that ensued in the universe there. And it's not fantasy. People want it tainted as that. They want to try and plaster that label to it. But you'd be surprised how many people do have a conscious memory of who and what we are and what we're doing here on the planet and the history of our journey in this universe. It's the majority of the people in the universe have this going on. It's a normal state of them.
I was thinking Cavasilis, it sounded kind of like a Greek seafood platter involving many forms of crustacean.
That's a good point. Yeah, I love seafood, so there you go. You know, you picked up on something. In Latin, cavas means the key. That's another little tidbit I can share with you. It means the key. So,
you seem to be breaking up just a little bit there. If you've got any windows on your internet open, you probably best close them. I also wanted to think about this as well. We talked about like past lives earlier and things of that nature, and I was wondering. If you're an ancestor, or a descendant of people who've done great things, or what have you, is that what part of the past life is? Like, essentially, you inherit part of their life, part of their aspects and traits via the DNA.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why I chose to incarnate, because I wanted to come here and change things from the inside out, just like you have, just like so many of us have who are doing this great work to inform humanity. And I chose this particular bloodline to incarnate into because I needed to deal with the Christian religion. That's something that I've exposed greatly in my book. And the deceit that's been imposed upon humanity because of, this religious corporation. And it's... you know, by the priestly caste. And it's happened throughout the ages. They did in ancient Egypt. They did in Mesopotamia. This priestly caste has been doing it throughout epochs and eras. And, you know, some of these entities live for a very long time and thousands of years, and it doesn't bother them, you know. They just pull back, go underground for a while, regroup and come back and do it again after things get safe for them. So, and after they're able to, I would say, recruit whoever they need to recruit in the public arena to be their ambassadors and forward their agendas. So, yeah, it's what we do. It's we choose the bloodlines we incarnate into because they perfectly match our intentions for incarnating. And so a lot of soul group contracts and agreements get done with the beings who have been already incarnated into the bloodlines, and also, you do it with every level of life, because you do it with the planet, the planetary consciousness, the solar consciousness, you know, the galactic consciousness. We make all these agreements and arrangements with all the people we're going to interact with our lives, that we're going to come together. And, yeah, the whole thing is pre-organized. It's really quite the scale of it boggles the mind, because this is beyond the concepts of the mind. This is beyond mind.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about that, we talk about the fractal universe, and I've come up with a concept called fractal scumbaggery. So you have a look at any agent of scumbaggery, like let's say Henry Kissinger, and then the deeper you look, the more scumbaggery you start to see. And it's more scumbaggery than you could ever conceive possible. And then you have a look at it into these little incidences of scumbaggery that he's been involved with, and they expand into even more larger, giant swaths of scumbaggery themselves. And you have a look at some of the other people that might have been involved on the outer edges of that particular operation of scumbaggery, and it goes even further and further. So it's like,
and each one of them, yeah.
So on and so forth down the chain. Okay, so here's the thing. Do you want to spend your time looking at something else that you can forever expand on and get lost in, or do you want to look inside and find out what's really there?
That's the whole ethos of the information that I bring to people. This is about self-empowerment. So it's you made a statement before. This is quote Vinny Eastwood. Let's be aware of it.
We can't swear off, on our FCC regulated radio, but I know what you're going to say. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Let's be aware of it, but shed our fear of it. End quote, Vinny Eastwood. Now, I want to say that because it is about, see, knowledge is power. Everything in the universe is energy, and knowledge is energy. It's an energy. And when we have this greater awareness of things, then we know what's what. You know, who's who, where it's at, the whys, the hows. We begin to have this understanding of life. Now, you can get caught up in these external concepts of knowledge and life if you want, but the whole point of this is to go within. The kingdom of heaven is within, to take another quote. And once we do that, then self-empowerment from within is freedom and sovereignty of mind, body, and spirit. And that's what I'm all about self-empowerment, all about freedom and sovereignty. And anybody who's really looked into my material will know that. And because it's time for us no longer to be followers. It's time for us to stop living a lie, and it's time for us to stop living from these external influences and programs and start being authentic. You know, you got to be authentic to go within. You got to, because what you're doing is you're turning inside out. So you're bearing your soul. You're being who you are. And because we've been living a lie for so long, pleasing everyone else around us and living to the expectations of those around us and conforming to the protocols of the matrix and society, it hurts. It really hurts to be real and genuine and authentic, because we've been living a lie for so long. We've trained everyone around us that we're going to continue to live a lie, and it's okay. But when you start being authentic, everything around you changes, and people go, whoa, what's happened to you? You're different. You've changed. That's because you're no longer feeding them.
It's like, no. I haven't changed anything, mate. The world has changed around me because I figured out what it actually was. Maybe you should do the same. You know? I don't understand why people want to keep living the lie. I can comprehend that they want to avoid pain. But if you avoid pain for long enough, you become weak and incapable of dealing with anything. And it's only through trials, tribulations, and finding out what your strengths and weaknesses are by challenging yourself that you'll grow and actually expand in any way, shape, or form. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break.
Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the kind of radio show that's unlike any other, where essentially you kind of look at it like this. I don't know who you are, you don't know who I am, and the audience may not be terribly familiar with either of us. So I'll tell you what. We'll get together, we'll have a conversation, we won't be dicks to each other, and we'll just have a nice, fun, old time. What's wrong with that? And everybody else can get to know both of us intimately.
That's the way it should be. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, man. 5 days a week. Seriously. I don't even know who half these people are. 90% of them even.
Because all the listeners and stuff like that have all these eclectic different interests, and a lot of them are older than me. Like most of the people that listen to the show, George, are between the ages of 40 and 60, about 45% female kind of thing. So I'm like, whoa. There's a huge amount of knowledge out there that's beyond mine in all these different areas, and they're familiar with all these names of these different people and things like that that they've been following for like a decade or whatever, and I never even heard of that person. So they send me their email, they send me their website, and I'll get that person on. And they'll learn stuff about that person that they didn't know, and I'll learn stuff about that person that I don't know, right? Because I'm starting off from the humble position of I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't know what we're talking about. So please, do us the honour of taking the lead. You know, this is 2 hours of radio. You may not have had this opportunity before, so you can talk about whatever you like. And just as long as you're truthful and are prepared to have fun, we won't have any problems. And I don't think this is the way that most talk radio is done, because it's a big risk to put yourself out there for people that you're unfamiliar with, there's usually a long vetting process. You know, like some radio show hosts will tell me that it's a real hassle to prepare a 2 hour a week show. And I'm doing between 10 and 20 hours a week of radio like it's nothing. And it's because I've cut that out, all that stuff that I feel is unnecessary, because, I don't know, I just like not having to do work, basically, and having a conversation with somebody who's cool and having fun. That doesn't sound like a hell of a lot of work to me. So I've tried to put as much of that in as possible, and I get the rest.
Well, it's either work or it's just being, isn't it? You just want to be who you are, and sometimes other people have a different approach. And that's how my approach is this is what I came to do. I'm just being natural and being me. And I chose to incarnate into that bloodline, but crikey, you know, I'd challenge anyone else to try and rewrite these DNA codes. It's not so straightforward when you've got priestly caste energy so entrenched into your DNA. It's disgusting, to be honest. It's a very... very awful thing to have to do, but you know, I chose it, and I've got to wear my obligations and responsibilities for it. And we've all incarnated in different bloodlines for varying reasons, and you know, a lot of the bloodlines went underground, so they're not known. And takes a lot of courage.
Hold on a second. This is a thought that occurred to me a while back. You know how there's a New World Order bloodline of these wealthy evil families and stuff like that. I was wondering, are there truther bloodlines, descendants of old things that are all actually operating in a secret kind of underground manner and things like that, that are all connected in a conspiratorial way that is up against the New World Order at the same time?
Well, people have different ideas about bloodlines. I mean, you can take the average bloodline in a family, just the average Joe Blow walking the street, and they might have a significant charge of karmic energy, karmic knowledge and wisdom, because of the role they might have played as a servant to a king who created a revolution, and this person might have advised the king in private behind closed doors on matters of council, of state matters and what have you, and had a huge influence on the course and destiny of humanity, but they were just a servant. Do you know what I mean? But all the amount of energy of the change of the course and destiny of humanity, all that energy is going to be connected to that bloodline. And so whoever's incarnate into that insignificant bloodline, so to speak, insignificant, don't realize just how significant it actually is, whether it's up in lights or it's got, you know, it's got whistles and bells attached to it. So bloodlines can be a very fickle thing. Just because someone's incarnated into a famous bloodline doesn't mean they've got more going on than a person who's incarnated into an infamous bloodline. So, you know, they're neither here nor there. To answer your question, definitely agree that is the case. There are bloodlines of families that have tried their best throughout the ages to incarnate and change the course and destiny of humanity. They've tried to do the right thing. So truth of bloodlines, I totally agree with, do exist.
Absolutely. Well, who are those families? I mean, I can throw out two of the New World Order families, Rothschild, Rockefellers. Who are two truth of families?
Well, you've obviously incarnated into a truth of bloodline. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. There's so many people that have incarnated into these bloodlines because it matches too with the passion, and you know, you incarnate into
because I was talking about a very specific, like there were 13 families who forged the Illuminati and a secret society and stuff like that, and they're all interlocked and intermarried, and they're trying to enslave society. Are there 14 or a dozen truth of families that have also forged a similar type of conspiracy to swear eternal allegiance against scumbaggery or something of that nature? Because I don't think that is the case. I think that what happens organically when organisms are attacked by a virus or a cancer or something of that nature, the body will find a way, somehow, provided it's given the right tools to work with, nutrition, etc., to repel any of that overriding virus or cancer or thing that is threatening to destroy it. And I think that humanity in a greater consciousness level actually has that sort of white blood cells, so to speak, as well. And so these they get produced in these families that produce these white blood cells, these attack blood cells. Like my father, for example, an inventor by in the 80s and stuff like that, when he was over mortgaged all up to hilt with three kids and another on the way, and he was running an electricity business and a forklift tire design business and all at the same time, and the stock market goes down. He just kept working, and he found everything he needed to get by. I come from a very resilient family who are you on the one side, like my mother's side, very, very spiritual. And on my father's side, very analytical and very industrious and very entrepreneurial. And on the mother's side, again, there's a healing aspect to it. There's a lot of nurses and that kind of thing, and they're all very family oriented. So it's actually, I don't think there's anything real mystical going on here to a large degree. You're either born into a family of people who are naturally inclined to be this way and be at the very least of higher intelligence. Like, you're not going to be born into a family of people who feed you a Coca-Cola from the bottle from the age of two years old or something like that and become a genius, are you? Because your family's so dumb that they're going to destroy your abilities. And I think, and that's a part of the deliberate agenda of the New World Order, to toxify and dumb down everybody so that people like you and me start to appear less and less and less until eventually there'll be none of us left to resist.
Yeah, well, a lot of the bloodlines have gone underground, and they wanted to eliminate any of the threats by making sure that they do dope the masses and they sit at the top. And I'll tell you what, it's been a challenge for all of us to have come through, because our DNA has been marinating in dogma and different types of foods and you know, and genetically modified foods and chemicals now added, and it's not easy. It's a great challenge. And when it comes to the 12 tribes of Israel, there's more to that. The 12 families you speak of has to do who are the ones who have been instated by the priestly caste. And the reason they use that is to replicate what's going on a much larger, on a cosmic level, where it came down to 12 main archetypal personalities of the universal creator. I'm talking about the real one now, not the god of religions. There's two different things going on here, right? And then there's, you know, we've got the music of the spheres, so we've got the 12 archetypes represented in the solar system, which all of the 12 archetypal personalities. And what we also ended up with in the cosmic arenas, because we you know, there's been a long-term project, like I said, from before this galaxy was created. Eventually, we were going to get to the point where we were going to create the genetic vessel. So we got it down to I've got the memory of being a part of this. There's so many people incarnate that are a part of this. I'm talking into the millions, if not billions. And we needed to create a genetic vessel, so we got it down to 12. Of main groupings, genetic groupings of all races that are in the universe. So, you know, this is the original understanding of the 12 fractal system, to do with the 12 main layers of frequency or dimensional realms in the universe. So it has to do with the way the universe is structured. But then you've got these other beings and entities with ideas they want to replicate, because if someone else wants to be God, so it's got to try and replicate everything to blur the lines between reality and illusion, and also be more effective in a harmonic way. So it's about replicating the natural environment as much as you can, so you can then manipulate organic life as much as you can and have more influence over it. Because if you try and create something that's quite different, you're not going to succeed. It's been done in the universe so many times before. So you've got, you know, the different ideas from different organizations and different groups, you know, as above, so below. We have multitudes of councils out there, multitudes of beings out there with different ideas who are trying to impose their ideologies and philosophies onto our world. So, yeah, this Illuminati thing is just one layer on the planet, and you got to realize this thing. It goes into an intergalactic cabal. It goes into dimensional, goes into the cosmos, and it goes right back to God entities who are creating pseudo-universal paradigms. I explain that all in the book. This is a very, very big control structure. And, you know, once we start to remember once again the bigger picture of life. And I tell people, don't take my word for gospel. You know, I'm giving you my perspective. Feel into it and go with what feels right for you. And I'm just providing information which will help trigger people into remembering who and what we are, where we've come from. And once, you know, you understand about the 12 tribe scenario, and you think, crikey, okay, so this is where it all comes from. And so the 12 families on the planet are just puppets for the priestly castes, who the priestly castes themselves are just puppets, interdimensional puppets for much bigger entities behind the scenes, which go into the cosmos. So, you know, they think they're big and high and mighty, but they're not. They're really not. They're very frightened and insecure individuals. And they're totally brainwashed, and these god entities have totally got their tentacles into them. They possess them regularly. I've had to deal with these beings on a personal level in this lifetime, so I know what it's like. I know the energy. These entities come through people around me as well. It's something that I'm well versed at. So there are the odd people who have incarnated into these other bloodlines that we speak of, like, be it Rockefellers, Rothschilds. They're not. Everybody is, you can't be racist here. You can't taint everyone with the same brush. There's people who are incredibly courageous who have chosen to incarnate into these bloodlines to change them from the inside out as well. So, yes, there's people
and
who
figuratively, I actually discussed this not too long ago with a friend of mine, and he told me that, yes, in fact, there are some Rothschilds and Rockefellers who are coming out against the agendas of their families from the inside, but then he said those people get quickly eliminated. If they get shown to have any emotion, any tendency that would force them to try and change things from the inside, they've developed that methodology over those hundreds of years to weed that out completely. Not entirely dissimilar to how, say, the Spartans would throw away any child who's unshapely or misformed. The Rothschilds and Rockefellers would discard anybody who has a heart and a soul and an empathy.
Yeah, because it's, you know, survival of the fittest, or it's just, you know, the evolutionary process. They just take it on a mechanical level and don't take it any further, because the bigger agenda is paramount principle and superior to any individual's needs. It's the, you know, the individual part of a greater organism, and that's how these people think. These are the collective hive mind mentalities, and at the top you've got these god entities that pull the strings in the rest of the clans or the groupings or whatever, the hives.
Well, yeah. It's what David Icke told me is that they're these entities called archons that the Gnostics talked about, who are obsessed with hierarchical structure, unable to create anything of their own means, and intensely jealous of humanity's ability to create things. But they can manipulate, right? And the shorthand is, you give them a blank sheet of paper, they got nothing. You give them a blank sheet of paper that's got a few ideas on it, they can twist it, distort it, invert it, and play around with it. And I was just thinking, man, how twisted and distorted and played around with are our minds, our realities, our bodies, our very ideas themselves. I come to the conclusion that most of my ideas that I think are original are not even my own, and somebody's already come up with them. And there really ain't nothing new under the sun, really, is there? And all these arguments that you see going on between the left versus right and Republican versus Democrat, or Tory versus Liberal, or any of these other things, you understand very quickly that they're both wrong, because if one of them was right, clearly, unequivocally correct, the argument would end pretty freaking quickly, wouldn't it? And not go on forever. So I won't go on forever either, ladies and gentlemen, because we're coming to a break, conveniently enough, and we'll be right back with my very special guest, George. We'll be right back.
Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow like this?
Like this,
like this, let's do it.
How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, infinity, not many, infinity.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
Check, check to the mic, check. A 1-2 from a crew coming through.
Welcome back. Lovely ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You know, it just occurs to me, George, you know, I don't know any other New Zealanders in history ever that have had a radio show that's based in America, but I do know heaps of New Zealanders who left New Zealand, went to America, and made their fortunes, like Flight of the Conchords, for instance. You know, and it's just the thing. America still has that entrepreneurial spirit. It still has the good people there that are willing, ready, and able to basically let people experiment, to try new things, to go places where others have not gone. And this is why I feel such an intense appreciation of America, Americans, and in particular, American Freedom Radio, for giving me this platform to basically do what I could not do on my own. Thank you very much. And same for you, George, and every one of the guests and listeners who participate in the many eclectic ways that they do with these shows. Again, I can't do this on my own. I need everybody to help. And that's kind of a microcosm in the fractal universe sense of the word of everything we try to do that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in this together and it's great. You know, variety is the spice of life and, you know, a universe of contrasting expressions where it's not a dull and boring universe. It is full of life and full of opportunities and full of experiences, yeah, and milk it for all it's worth. That's what it's there for. Go for it. Live life. Be who you need to be and go make things happen. Yeah, I've already been entrapped in the poverty mindset. I've already been entrapped in a... you know, I had my health, my wealth, I lost everything. I was in bed for 3 years with chronic fatigue and you know, I only got out of bed and got to the, as far as a lounge for many years after that and wasn't able to do too much. On the odd occasion, I could go out and visit a friend or go do my shopping, but, you know, I know what it's like to have everything stripped away and not being able to do anything. So make sure you live life to the fullest and don't be afraid because fear will hold you back. You'll want to sit in your cozy little comfort zone and you think you're doing well, but really you're living from fear. So get out there and be who you need to be. Live from your heart. Be your soul. And, you know, even Shirley MacLaine said it going out on a limb. I did. And sure, you fall off your bike a couple of times. That's wisdom. You know, learn from your experiences. Gain the wisdom. Makes you a bigger person, stronger person. I get knocked down, but I get back up again, you know. And keep going like your dad did, Vinny's dad did. You know, you keep going. You keep going and don't give up. And be who you need to be.
Yeah, yeah. And on that point, what did your parents do?
My father was a computer engineer. Both my parents were born in Egypt. My father was born in Mansoura. My mother was born in Kafal Dawar. And it was, you know, a really incredible time because Egypt was multicultural. Everyone from Europe fled to Egypt during World War One, and it became a, you know, incredible multicultural society. And my parents grew up speaking, learning and reading and writing 7 languages. And, you know, they said you'd walk down the street and then there's Italians and there's Germans and there's Greeks and there's, you know, Spanish, you name it. It was an incredible place. And then unfortunately things changed in the 50s and they got kicked out of Egypt. So, and they came to Australia. My father was a computer engineer, worked for NCR. He was involved in the Freemasons for a while. All my uncles were involved in Freemasonry, so it was quite a big deal. And then all of a sudden, they all left. all at the same time. My uncle, on my mother's side of the family, ended up being the CEO of Coca-Cola for Greece, which is a big, big position. And there were favours that were asked from the, you know, from within the boys. He leaned on. He refused. And that's when everything changed. Some of my father got leaned on. There was the CIA hunted my father. He was taken to Wright-Patterson. He was one of the leading computer engineers on the planet at one stage, and he worked on secret projects. I'm aware of them. I've got a relative, two relatives who are aware of it because my father confided in them and us. And we know these things. And I tell you what, it's been an incredible journey because all my uncles, everyone got career assassinated at the same time. The secret men's club, you know, the big boys at the other end of these secret societies, they career assassinated every member of our family. It was incredible how everyone had top, really high positions, and then everyone got career assassinated at the same time across the board. They all left. They all didn't like the rituals that they got to, the level and the types of rituals. They got uncomfortable. And, you know, and I've worked really hard to get the tentacles of draconians and that out of my system. I've gone through a lot of processes. There's one called holographic kinetics, which is an Australian Aboriginal healing technique, very powerful. And, you know, if there's any doubters out there whether draconians exist, whether winged serpents exist, whether any of these entities running these secret societies exist, go and have a session of holographic kinetics and then come back and talk to us. And I lay down the gauntlet and I'll challenge any skeptic, any scientist, go and have a session and see what comes to the surface inside of them and then tell me. And I tell you what, it is very powerful. Even the Māori have their healing techniques. They'll be very similar. And so a lot of the indigenous cultures have these techniques, and I tell you what,
I was also going to say that throughout history, particularly during colonialism, shaman, healers, herbology, all different forms of any form of higher consciousness awareness or music or trance type gatherings and things like that began to be outlawed and kind of cast off into the sides and things like that. They used to be central parts of culture and growing up, becoming a person, becoming in tune, you know, with the drums and everything, and becoming one with everything. And I believe the reason why all these cultures, whether they be pharmacratic with the use of mushrooms, as the Spanish wiped out many cultures that were practicing the higher spirit fields through that, the reason why I think they're trying to do that is they're attempting to sever the connections between the higher realms, because it's kind of like if you're on a sports team and you're up against another sports team, and the other sports team has all of their players in play, and they've got a few more in reserve, but you've only got about half a team to field, they've got the advantage, don't they? So what they do is they take out your players, okay, and all of your pieces on the chessboard and things like that, so you're left with very little to fight back against. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but it means that whatever you got has to be so very, very much stronger than it ordinarily would have to be in order to survive your conflict going through. And you find out through whatever stuff that you go through, if you survive it and you still got use of your arms and bodies and everything like that, usually the scarring will be internal. It'll be every time you see somebody behave in a certain way, you'll see that person that you experienced that one time who behaved in a very similar way and did really horrible things to you. And all of that will come back, and you're instantly much more sensitive and capable of identifying some things. But also, the risk here is that you may become hypersensitive. You might go a little bit over it and become a bit more paranoid, yeah, and see things and make connections that are maybe not even there. And when you've got that thing going on, sometimes you make the jump, and instead of that just being a thought in your head, you write out letters that go out to everybody, and you expose people online and stuff like that, when you don't actually know for a fact what's really going on, and you might just be reliving an experience of something similar that you saw, which isn't the same as what you're seeing right now in front of you, and your mind just can't tell the difference. And we do that all the time. I liken it to the wall on the obstacle course in basic training. The principle is there's a big tall wall, and it is very, very hard to get yourself up and over, but you cannot go through the rest of the obstacle course until you get over that wall. If you can't get over it, you have to start all the way over again until you do. Same with our experiences, same with our emotional traumas and everything like that. You have to get over it before you can continue, okay? And so a lot of people, instead of focusing on getting over that wall, they focus on becoming very, very good at getting over these little obstacles before getting to that one, and then they start all over again. So they become specialists at not getting over things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point that you make. Also, when you feel into these incidences and go back through your experiences and also feel into the experiences of your own bloodline, like really deep, this is very deep I'm talking about, getting into your DNA codes, the DNA program, and all the karma involved in and around your genetic program and your DNA programs in your bloodlines. You know, this is very real stuff. It's tangible. It's real. It exists. It's energy that's there. It also connects back through time. It also connects back to, you know, it's like a network. You go back to that incident, and who all the people involved with that incident are connected to other things, and then the other things are connected to other. And so it branches out, and how long's a piece of string? How far do you need to venture down those paths, down those avenues to explore, to redirect, to re-experience, to I would say rewrite, or in effect, bring into balance the karmic energies that are out of balance. So it depends on how people approach these issues, because, you know, I'm not tainting every Freemason with the brush that I just used. There are very good people in Freemasonry. They just have no idea what they've got themselves into, and they do good for the community and what have you on another level. But, you know, they don't realize when they're performing those rituals, entities are getting their tentacles into them. That's the reality that's befallen Freemasonry. That's the reality that's befallen every single organization and secret society on our planet. And there isn't anything on this planet that has not been untainted. And that includes shamanism. It's totally corrupted. There's very few shaman who are navigating the nature spirit kingdom in an appropriate manner. There's very few, and that's reality. And I'm not here to favour one group over another. I'm just here to tell it how it is, you know, and whether people are big enough to take it on the chin or not. So some people haven't the wisdom and to deal or the capacity to deal with what's been shared here. But, you know, for people like myself who have ventured into other realities for all of our lives, I've been doing it, have interacted with beings and entities and races interdimensionally throughout my life. You know, we understand where things sit, where things fit. I don't say I've got every single answer. It's ludicrous to say that, and I certainly don't claim that, and ask people not to believe me. But I do ask people to take into consideration what I'm saying and to take into consideration the experience where I'm talking from, the knowledge and the wisdom I'm talking from. And like we do with everybody, I sit and I listen to the experience and knowledge and wisdom you have, because you're far more experienced than I am in many areas of life. And so this is one area that I am very well versed at. And I ask people to read the material in this book, understand where I'm coming from. It explains so much about who we are, where we come from, and what we're doing here. It's our universal journey. That's what it's about. And it is potent. The content in this book is potent. It reveals a lot. And it's highly recommended. And people can go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au for any further details on that. So we have on our planet, everything has been tainted. And it's serving us. It's serving a purpose. It is forcing us to go to the one place they cannot touch. And that is deep within our essence, in our soul essence. They can't touch that. That is pure, whole, and sanctified. It is untouchable, unreachable by these entities and by their methods and their programs. They've created internal software programs and external cosmic light software programs, which are overlays. They've managed to do that. They've managed to implant a biological implant, which is posing as an endocrine gland. They've managed to do that, a multidimensional implant. So they've managed to do these things, but we're just left with one place left to go, and that's deep within ourselves. And so on the bigger picture, they're actually working for us. We have co-created this reality. We've all come to the earth, and we wanted to close this cycle, this life cycle, the cycle for life eternal. And we wanted to be tested by the best, and we got the best. We got the best this universe has to offer. And if you think about it, if you wanted to go to approach a race and you wanted to control them, how would you go about it? And if you think the most devious ways you could possibly do to go about it, then you're going to start becoming aware of what's being imposed on humanity, because they have not left anything unturned. They've come at us from our foods, from our water, from our natural environment. They're controlling the ley lines. They're controlling the natural environment. They're controlling, you know, we're inside the mental matrix, through our minds, everything.
Yeah, see, and it's a big fat spider web or a giant prison where every single bar has nothing to do with any of the other bars, and you can't see them all working in concert. But sure enough, you're in a cage, and every single bar is individually trying to screw you over in some way. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, boogieing it down in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Yeah. Hey, and by the way, I've looked every now and again, you know, seen these little blips on the little globe on Guerrilla Media, which has gone over 100,000 now, by the way, for the first time. That was pretty awesome. I also took a snapshot on it when it was on 999,911. So the last three digits were 911. That was pretty choice. I managed to snapshot that. I've got a little screenshot on the computer. I think I love that little synchronicity there. And the other night, I was processing a video, bro, and I walked away and then, like, going to bed. And on my way past the bed, I'll be passing the washing machine, right? Got a little digital counter, how many minutes it's got left. Look at my video, how many minutes it's got left? 33. Then I go past the washing machine, how many minutes it's got left? 33. And I was just like, there is no fracking way that's a coincidence, bro. You know, you ever get the idea, bro, that the universe is just messing with me, you know, deliberately just trying to mess with my head, yo?
Exactly. It's trying to do your head in because you're going to get past the mind, bro.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about this. If somebody's trying to drive you nuts, the way to keep yourself sane is realizing that they want you to go nuts.
There you go.
All right. As long as you know that you're being scammed, you won't get scammed. That's what we're trying to point out here. These people have been using the exact same scams all the way through history, and nobody's put the pieces together until now. Or at least now we're starting to get very close to finishing
exactly,
that puzzle.
Very close.
Mm-hmm. All right? So very, very close. And I don't know, at the last minutes of the game, when there's only a few points on the board that we got to score before it's a slam dunk, ba-boom, we win the championship. Yay! You go much harder, don't you? At 2012, man. It's time to stop messing around.
Have fun, but get on with it. Be realistic and stop, you know, I don't know what I can say. I better not go there, but stop messing around, like you said. And, you know, it's time to be authentic, be real. It's either go hard or go home because, you know, for the people, for the changes that are coming, I know we're in changes already, but when they go to that next level, you got to dig deep. You got to be real. You got to be genuine. You got to be authentic. You know, like if you want to break free from those prison bars that we spoke of just before the break, that's the golden key, is to go within you. In there, there's a power that can override any illusion, any program that is designed to lure you into a paradigm of falseness, any false program at all. And you see through the whole lot just by going in there and reconnecting with you. That's all you got to do. See, it's so simple. People don't, you know, they can't grasp it because the mind's been so occupied with all these programs. You got to program, you got to meditate like this, you got to eat those and foods and dress like that. And, you know, you got to do that. You got to bring that light in. Crap. Just go within you, bring your light out, be authentic from the heart. In sacred geometry, it's the toroidal process. We need to turn inside out. We need to have that perpetual flow of energy coming from within out. It's self-expression. And that's the part of us that's connected to the universe, the organic universe. That's the part of us that's in synchronicity with all life. And that's the part of you that is empowered so greatly you can override and overcome anything. And you just, that's believing in yourself, and that's trusting in yourself, because you're the creator of your life. I didn't create your life, Vinny. You created your life. Every listener who's listening, I didn't create your lives. I co-created your lives, and you co-created my life. But ultimately, you're responsible for your life. So take responsibility, step up to the plate, and start being real, and stop pussyfooting around and blaming everyone else, and start taking life by the, you know, like take the horse by the reins and ride the thing, you know, make it happen. And you'd be surprised how proactive you become. You don't go crawling into a shell. You don't just sit back and, you know, oh, just here to observe is what so many people say. Crap, that's a form of fear. There might be the odd person that's here just as an observer, but the amount of people I hear saying that.
Yeah, bro, life is not a spectator sport.
You nailed it. That's so good. I like that. It is not a spectator sport. It's you know, a participatory process. I always stumble over that word. But, yeah, it is a participatory process. Start participating.
And I found the thing that stops people participating is they have a job, right? I was talking to my girlfriend the other night, George, and I asked her, you know, how come you're not doing the truther thing or anything like that? And I was just like, are you really a truther, honey? You know, do you know about MK Ultra? She's like, yeah. Do you know about the Anunnaki? Yeah. Do you know about 9/11 was an inside job? Yeah. Do you know about directed energy weapons? And yeah. She knows all of it, bro. And I never knew that she knew all this just as well as I did, right? And it baffles me. I was like, knowing all these things that you know, how come you're not actually really doing anything about it? And she stood there and sat for a second, and she's like, when I come home from my job each day, I don't have any energy to do anything. No, I can't think. I can't work at anything. Like, we've got this little garden outside that she can't do anything with because she doesn't have the energy, you know? And it's like, wow, whoa, hold on a second. Baby, you're still a slave because you've got this job. And I was just thinking about, well, if we quit our job, Vinny, how are we going to pay the rent? That extra income that we bring in. I mean, she's been supporting me for like 5 years on, you know, this kind of thing. If she quits that job, what's going to happen? You know, that's that unsurety. And I was just thinking, quit your job. Just do it. And then go, now you've got the motivation. I don't have a job anymore. Now I've got to find up a way to come up with the money. And I've got all the free time I need in order to do that. And I think it'll work. It worked with me, but maybe it only worked with me because she was there still doing the slave job and not being able to do the things that maybe I'm doing in this movement. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know how to make things right. I don't know how to accomplish good things without working harder than you should ever really have to.
Well, once we start getting into that flow and we start heading down a different direction that we were before, the universe rearranges itself to support your venture. And when you do it in synchronicity with, you know, the betterment of humanity, then you do start to get support coming from many directions, as you said before, about the loaf of bread that your friend rang up about when you so desperately needed bread. I've been there. I've done that. We you know, we're still, you know, Cynthia and I are only just starting to create some sort of balance in our situation where we can bring in the resources that are required to maintain domains and you know, we've invested so much of what we had into printing of the book, into writing the book, publishing the book, you know, printing the book. Oh, it's been incredible. And but the resources started to, there's balance now starting to happen. And so there's this flow that's beginning. So we're putting out, we've worked tirelessly to put this into motion. Now it's starting to come back so we can continue this process. So it's like, it's perpetual. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of like caterpillar tracks. Caterpillar tracks, they don't move, but something inside it moves, and the caterpillar tracks simply give way and allow whatever's inside it to keep progressing forward with stability.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. And we just need to trust. We need to trust that once we get into the groove of the greater work that we're here to do, and it's not, we're not all saying everybody must go out and write a book or everyone must be a radio presenter. That's not what we're saying. Everyone's got their niche. Everyone's got their own area they specialize in. And for other people, it's a matter of time. It's not their time yet to move forward, that foray forward into their proactive approach. The time will come. So it's also a matter of timing within the cycle of life. But when we begin to understand that, we get that feel, we get those nudgings. It's like, you know, you get that stirring inside of you. Maybe it's time for me to leave my job. Maybe it's time for me to do what I've always felt passionate about throughout my life. And when you go into that groove of doing what is naturally, you're naturally gifted at, there's not much effort involved. Is there hard days of hard work? Yeah. But you're not grinding away doing something that is not naturally your thing, you know, and then you don't come up against all this opposing energy and you don't feel as drained. So, yeah, there's days where we feel very tired, but we enjoy the pain, we enjoy the tiredness because we're in the groove of our life within the universe. You know, we're in flow and it feels good and we don't mind putting in those hard yards and getting that pain. Just like someone who's passionate about playing footy, they don't mind doing the hard training. They love it. You know, it's a rush, and but in a good way. And so people, when you're in your groove, it flows. The flow starts. You're doing what you believe in. You're doing your passion. That you're running from that burning desire. You're functioning from that burning desire for life from within you. And your soul light shining. When we say shine, that's what we mean. That means to be authentic. It means to be real. Stop living a lie. Stop living on other people's expectations of who and what you should be and what you should do.
Indeed. Well, just like they say in the movie 2012, George, I wish we had more time. But I also wanted to direct people towards your website. What is it? OurUniversalJourney.com.au. You can pick up the book there. And tell George if you are interested and you do get the book, at least tell George where you found out about it and stuff like that. You know, identify the Vinnie Eastwood show. Because, you know, there's a feedback loop going on here, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes, you know, we all need to recognize where things come from and their origin, you know.
Acknowledgement.
And I think that's,
acknowledgement's important.
Yeah, indeed. All right. And so is knowledge. Knowledge is important. So is acknowledge. All right. Thank you very much, George. And you have yourself a fabulous day.